And hey, everybody, welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Oversharing Show. I almost said Brandon Bonanza Show. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I have too many shows. Welcome back to the best darn show on the internet, the Oversharing Show. What was I thinking? How could I even?
How dare you?
Sacrilege. Oh, no. I'm excited today. We have a guest and another exciting episode as always. And the first thing I'm going to do is read a quote like I do every week. Today's quote is, "To think is easy, to act is hard, but the hardest thing in the world is to act in accordance with your thinking." And that's by Johann Wolfgang Van Gogh, or Van Gogh. I don't know how to pronounce that, but...
G-O-E-T-H-E. Oh, I've heard that pronounced Goethe, but...
Goethe, that's probably somebody I should know. It's probably a... Yeah.
Something like that.
Can't know everything, right?
Perfect. That's a great, great quote. And today we have a guest, as we usually tend to do. And she's my friend. Her name is Jill. And I will get to her how we got to know each other a little bit. But she had pulled a card right before we started. So I'm going to let her share that card first.
All right. Sharon and I, as part of our journey story you'll hear about, she turned me on to this deck of cards, which is
the Wildwood Tarot, which
Wildwood
Brandon
Tarot, thank you,
told me about.
Desperately over there trying to find the name of it. and she pulled a card for me when I first started being introduced to it, and it was this card, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
Which is the home card, which is the Ten of Stones.
And in the traditional tarot, that represents the Ten of Discs or the Ten of Pentacles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which it's, to me, that represents abundance. It's like Brandon likes to say, the nine of anything is kind of like the end of the cycle. The 10 is kind of like, it's almost like the beginning of a new cycle, but it's like you got past the nine. So now you're kind of celebrating.
Good, coming home.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful.
Like full circle.
Yeah.
And it's in the biblical days, mm-hmm. 10 was the circle, was the completion.
Oh, the completion of the circle.
Of the cycle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's still like the numerology still applies, you know?
Absolutely.
Right. I mean,
there's
a lot of
so many other opportunities with numerology that open up when you like step away from being crammed in that I have to believe this certain group of things box.
Girl, yes.
We don't have
so many more options.
Oversharing Show.
What, Brandon?
We don't have boxes on the Oversharing Show. You know, they say think outside the box. We exist outside the box, except for this box that I'm in right now on Zoom.
Yeah. Why can't it be a circle, Brandon?
That's a good question.
I like circles much better. You're kind of in a circle, Brandon, because you've got the circular, what do they call those things?
I would be in a circle if I were over here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The mandala. Yeah. Mandala.
Mandalas. Yeah. There you go.
Mandala tapestries. Brandon likes to call them mandalas.
Mandalu. They get confused with the other phenomenon. Yeah, this is a shower curtain that I got on Amazon for like $17. It's amazing. And now it kind of reminds me of the mouth of a sandworm with the teeth and like the layers of teeth.
From Dune.
Shai Halud. I'm constantly on the edge of Shai Halud.
Reading a bunch of Dune, Brandon is...
Yeah, I'm a Dune fan.
What is it called when you like... Oh, marathon. He's marathoning the Dune stuff.
Did you watch the new movie?
I have not. I've just been listening to the audiobooks like a madman, and I'm going back through again to listen. Because the son... So Frank Herbert's the one who originally wrote, I think it was 6 books. Mm-hmm. And his son and this other guy, Kevin J. Anderson, wrote like a prequel, and then they finished the series and they wrote all these books in between. So it's very interesting. I gotta say, yeah.
I read those books. I was pretty young, maybe in my teens.
Wow, girl.
I'm old.
No, but I'm just saying you read those back then. That's so cool.
Oh yeah. I read them before they made the first movies.
Wow.
That were kind of hokey. I was like, this isn't what the story is about.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I heard. So I think I've seen parts of the was the 80s movie that came out or whatever it was, but yeah, the book is definitely, I think what happens with the movie is it kind of whets people's appetite, and then for some people it gives them enough, but then hopefully others go in further, because it really is a good breakdown of like mind control in there, in the way it works around with people and just the way society is in general, if you're paying attention.
Yeah, and hoarding of resources and making people classes of people, and it's a really interesting read.
Yeah, and how people get deified even when they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Wadib, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, this is very relevant to this stuff topic we're talking about, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, speaking of that, I will introduce Jill and how we met a little bit, and then she's going to tell us about her journey into whatever she's doing now. And she's kind of like a little entrepreneur. She's doing great. And so the way it started was I was in this online community starting around late 2019. And I was listening to people like Rob Skiba and Zen Garcia, because they had like, I was introduced to Rob Skiba because of the like the flat earth discussions he was having. But then he was always a fan of doing like the giants and the Nephilim and stuff like that. So then I got into him and Zen, because he and Zen were doing a study of the Bible, Genesis, and the book of, what's it?
Forgot. Revelation, I think.
Joshua, or like one of the extra biblical books. And I can't remember which one it was. And they were doing this like side by side. Oh no, Enoch.
Enoch.
It was the book of Enoch. It was like a side-by-side reading. So they would read some of that and then some of Enoch and so I was into that kind of thing. And that kind of thing brought me into people who were like adjacent to that community. And through them, I was in this like smaller community group of people that were on a Discord channel. And that's where I met Jill. And, I think we became Facebook friends. Not that I got on Facebook that much, but we also like...
We were just Telegram friends.
Actually, Discord and Telegram. It was before Telegram. It was before Telegram, I think. Like, I created it afterward.
Yeah, we were on Discord. Yeah, that's where we met. And then we made our own group on Discord. And then we moved to Telegram.
Yes, yes, that's what happened. So amidst a lot of this... learning, because we were simply exploring, you know, what our thoughts and beliefs could possibly be with all the things we were learning in these videos that people were putting together, these blogs that people were writing. And a lot of stuff started sounding kind of weird to us. Like, okay, that sounds weird. Why? Like, for example, why did the priests in the Bible, they could wear these stones, these like amazing stones, and they were casting lots and they were doing like divination and stuff like, but it's like, why could they do it? And like, we can't, like, why couldn't like normal people do it? And why were they only, they were allowed, because only they could tell you what God was saying, you know, that side of things. So we started just being kind of like questioning things. And at some point the questioning became radical, you know, like, okay, well, let's talk about Jesus and the Messiah and who he was and like what his role was. And we stumbled across some videos and some content that made us question a lot of things and made us really open our minds to the possibilities. So eventually, because we were the questioners, we were either kicked out of the group or we were like pushed away or whatever. Like we were ostracized because we were questioning. We had too many questions, and how dare we question the narrative? Yeah. So we made our own little group. I mean, literally a small group of like maybe less than 20 people, maybe 30. And that got dwindled down too. When we moved to Telegram, it was like literally like 5 or 6 people. And then, you know, we kind of let that go, and that little group doesn't really chat anymore. But I think it's because we felt peace knowing that it was okay. Like what happened was okay. It was okay to ask questions. It was okay to come to our own conclusions. There was nothing wrong with it. We weren't hurting anybody, you know? So anyway, that was the little story of how Jill and I met, and that was our little community. And the book that I mentioned on a previous episode, which was an ebook online, was called Judaism versus Christianity, was like a pivotal book that I would back and forth talk to Jill about. And it was funny because Jill's like, oh, I know that guy. I met him before. Or he's a friend of a friend or something like that. So that was really funny and really interesting. So anyway, without further ado, this is Jill.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome.
Yeah, it feels like it was forever ago, but it was really only a couple of years.
Yeah.
It
was only like 2 years ago.
Yeah. And the Ora Linda book was really kind of pivotal.
That too.
In there, it was like, oh, well, that's a different look at things.
Yes.
And how about, and then there's the Paul thing. The Paul thing is what got us shunned.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Paul thing was interesting because for me, I will say, as a kind of like a, it's not a disclaimer or anything, but just to clarify my view is it got me looking at a different perspective, because like the way I see Paul these days anymore is not like, I don't see him as a heretic or like a, like, oh, he was against Jesus or anything like that. I just see it as anymore, like you can take something in the Bible and you can pull multiple perspectives from it. And like, some people will be like, they'll find evidence for anything they want. They'll be like, oh, look, he said this over here, and then he said this over here. It's a contradiction. He's a false prophet. He's a false law. He's this, he's that, he's the other. So you can find those things if you want to. You will find them. But what I realized is it's not a literal reading. A lot of these things are very supernatural, and they're explaining a lot of spiritual topics that happen to us within, you know, like, the Christ is within you. The Holy Spirit is within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Same thing. It's not talking about something physical. It's always been spiritual, esoteric knowledge that's been hidden and written as a story so that you can grasp it and keep it and pass on the knowledge, but always know that it's about you, about you coming to those realizations. So anyway, that's my little.
I posted something on Facebook today. I got it out of that book that I was telling you about, the Abundance book by
John Randolph Price.
Yes, thank you very much, because yes. I just forgot it. And it's all about the individual being connected to the larger community. We're all waves in the ocean of consciousness. Mm-hmm. We're individual, and it's important that each individual is in alignment with themselves and what they want, so that the cohesion or the ripple effect, when you touch another person, you're raising their vibrations instead of dragging everybody down, all this doom and gloom stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really why I got into the Bible, was for the doom and gloom stuff. I spent 20 years of my life researching when the end would actually happen. Hmm. And it's just like, why?
Right.
It was so fascinating to me. And that's how I got onto Rob Skiba. It was because of
end times,
the end time stuff, because he was all about the end time stuff. And then the Torah observant stuff came along. I was like, well, yeah, I should be the best I can be, so I'll be worthy to be taken. And I know it sounds silly when you say it like that, but
it makes
sense.
So many
people believe that.
Yeah. And it's okay. Like, it's because if you interpret it spiritually, yes, we should be the best we can be. Like, that's all we, that's like, we can strive for that. That's a good thing.
We're designed in love and we should be love. And everything about us should express love and, you know, goodwill towards others, including what you do for a living, what you do to be able to do other things that you want to do is you provide a service to people. In some way, shape or form, you're always providing a service. You're solving a problem for other people. And the more problems you solve, the better you solve them, the more needed the thing, the problem that you solve to get solved is, the more you will be, you will realize
receive
more abundance.
Could it be? Yeah.
But we're all given unique gifts that we're supposed to share with each other. And in that way, currency flows around the people. You're giving for something that you want to happen, and that person gives to somebody else, and that person gives to somebody else. And for the longest time, well, for my, as I was growing up, we had institutions that people would go to. You know, you would go to a big box store if you want to get your supplies, or you would go to a big grocery store, or you would go to the doctor, or, you know, you trusted the judge to be fair and equitable if you ran afoul of the law, and you could trust the policeman. Now, all of those things are kind of going to the wayside because they're all broken, and people are starting to come to terms with they need to contribute the thing that they were gifted to contribute, and people will come to be attracted to them to get that service. And then other people will have other things that they will interact with them. So it's one-on-one, and then their communities, and those communities kind of ripple out to fit the whole world, which is the U world order, not the new world order, but the U world order focused on you.
Yeah. And that's what you've started, right? It's like a new business model that you've started, right?
It's a podcast that I'm doing where I just feature like transformational leaders, holistic health coaches, or coaches really for anything. You can find solutions to your problems. There's somebody that's out there and has figured it out. You just need to find them and get in touch with them. And visionary entrepreneurs. I just feature them so that maybe people will get inspired to like step out and step into their power and be the change they want to see in the world. But getting back to the other thing, which was like the road to this thing. I was so steeped in the doom and gloom that I was missing all of the positive, wonderful things and opportunities that are happening in the world right now. And since just like the whole, it was the calendar debates and the Paul debacle.
And
just
the
made
name,
me say
the name, how to pronounce the name too, right?
There's so many things, but just couldn't do everything that it said to do.
Right.
Or that people were telling you you should do. So I just closed the book and put it on the shelf, and I haven't opened it in probably 2 years. I still believe that there's a creator. I believe that we're all part of that creator. And I believe we're all connected. I believe it's all energy. I've seen some energy healing things, even like for myself, that have just been nothing short of a miracle. Mm-hmm. Like when I hit my thumb with my pneumatic nail gun, we built a camper from scratch, and I shot the nail into my thumb, and it hit the bone, and my thumb hurts so bad. And I think he did one of those intentions intention group things with me.
Yes. Yes.
They held an intention for me that it would heal. And when we started the intention, I was in this little plastic thing that just kind of held my thumb still and kept me from banging it on stuff. And it was throbbing and I was complaining about how bad it hurt. And at the end of the intention, I felt nothing. It was perfectly normal. I could bend it. It was healed.
Amazing. Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Those were the Lynn McTaggart Power of Eight intention sessions that you were participating in and had invited me to.
Yeah, I was hosting one I hosted it for about a year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But
yeah. Yes. So, like, how did you grow up and kind of what are some of the things, like, I know you tend to be on this, like, you're very spiritual. I know, like, you've had experiences like I haven't had anything like that. So I would like you to share some of those things that helped you along the way or made you think along the way, question stuff, maybe, and get you to the place where you are.
I have always been able to see auras sometimes. I'm going to preface it with sometimes. I can't always see them, but I can see them sometimes. And if I'm like concentrating on it or focusing on it, it takes some fuzzy vision on my part. But I've also had some experiences, you know, with those. I used to think they were demons, but I don't know what they were. The black entities where you're paralyzed. And I don't know if it's sleep paralysis or not, but I do know that I did see a thing move across the foot of my bed, or just like in front of the foot of my bed. And it was a dark shape and I couldn't breathe at all. And then I was back in the day, I shouted or was thinking, you know, casting them out in the name of Jesus, and it left. And then I was able to breathe again. That was scary.
I can imagine. Our horrifying. Friend Adam has talked about, I don't know if he's ever talked about it on our show, but he's talked about how that's kind of stuff has happened to him. And that's intense. I can imagine that's super scary. But as far as what they are, yeah, they probably are entities that are attempting to bring you to their side to scare you. And if you don't show them fear, they'll go away. Or if you, like, some, you know, people have called on the name of Jesus and they go away. I told the story about my late husband who I told him to do that, and the demon, whatever creature it was, went away, never came back. So you either call on your favorite entity that has power over these and it'll go away, or you just show no fear and you show it love and light, you know. That too, I suppose, could work, but I don't have experience with it personally, just adjacently.
I think you're hitting on something that's an important factor in it. It's the fear thing. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, if you really do believe that he can save you from anything, then you raise your vibration to a level that it's you're going up the love elevator, as Shauna Menard would say. And it raises your frequency so that you're not in fear. The fear happens when you feel like you lack power. In love, you have power. You have all the power. And when you're calling on the name of Jesus, you're stepping into his power, even if you don't feel like you have power of your own. Exactly. And if it really is Jesus or the Christ that lives within us, then it is us. Yeah. But it's just a way to jumpstart us into this other frequency rather than being down here in this this lower frequency. And I can tell you at the time that I experienced those entities, it was a really dark time of my soul. I was like struggling with a lot of different things in my life. And they probably led to me eventually just like walking away from Christianity as it's practiced by a lot of people. And I don't really think of myself as losing my faith. I think of myself as finding my faith.
Yeah, exactly. I do too. Absolutely. Makes total sense. I like what you said about the whole love vibration and the losing the fear vibration, the power of belief in an entity that has power, even if it is like Jesus or whatever, but like you bringing that into yourself creates that frequency for you and then wards off any entities that are trying to be against you, for lack of a better term. That I've never heard it explained like that before. I like that. It's it makes sense.
I think the world has shifted a lot over the last couple of years, and people are more willing and interested in stepping into their own power. And I really want to encourage that with people. It's just like, again, everybody is gifted in a certain way, and just using those gifts and pursuing the things that you're really interested in, because there's something in there that you were gifted with to share with others. None of us was designed to live on our own. There are a lot of people that think they're introverts, but mm-hmm. you know, if they were truly put in a room by themselves forever, they'd go crazy.
Yeah. They would want community. They would want someone to commune with, mm-hmm. you know, multiple people even.
Yeah. We're built for connection. And it's,
yeah. And I like what you said about finding what you truly like, what you truly pursuing, what you want to do. That's like a topic that's kind of coming up for me. And I might have someone else on the show to talk about that too. So, because we just talked about it in a group chat that I was in, and I was like, ooh, that's a good topic. I like that. So that's a total sync. So definitely looking forward to having that that discussion soon. But let's see. So let's see, how did you grow up, and like, did you grow up in a Christian home, or what influenced you to like get to where you were at the time that you were looking into all these topics?
So I grew up mostly overseas when I was younger. We lived in Naples, and then we lived in Japan for a lot of years. Oh. So because we moved around a lot, and my parents weren't particularly religious, my dad was raised Episcopalian, which is kind of like King Henry's version of Catholicism.
Anglican? I don't know.
Yeah, kind it's like Anglican, but
off to the side of Anglican.
Yeah. All of them are almost the same. They just have different names.
It's all the same.
We just didn't have to confess our sins. And so I would go to Catholic churches sometimes because I thought the pageantry was really interesting. And I would get feelings when I was in those congregations.
And you say pageantry, what do you mean by that?
Like, you know, the priests and the gowns and all of the stuff.
Regalia.
The regalia. That's a good word.
I'm just throwing a word out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Paraphernalia.
Yeah. And the paraphernalia, you know, the little, you know, dishes and the wine live for the wine.
That's funny.
I need some more blood of Christ.
Yeah. I think somebody did a study that said that, you know, because the Catholics theoretically believe that they're eating the body of Christ and drinking his blood. Okay, so that's cannibalism, and that's not really kind of gross. But for all of the Catholics in the world over all of the centuries, there wouldn't be enough of his body to go around.
Oh,
it's
man.
Kind of dark, but
it's the everlasting body of Christ that just keeps regenerating.
Yeah,
it's
like everlasting.
The fish
every Sunday.
In the basket. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the fishes and the loaves,
yeah,
I guess.
I was going to say that. It never stops, never ends.
Yeah.
Just a gift that keeps on giving.
Gift that keeps on giving. And the whole confess your sins thing. Ugh. Get me started that with that.
Yeah.
But I looked at, you know, witchcraft and a lot of those other kind of fringy things. But again, we didn't have the internet when I was a kid, and I didn't have television until I was a teenager. So it was all from reading books and having talks with my sister. And my parents, they didn't really care. I mean, sometimes they would take us to church, but then they'd get crosswise with somebody and
as it goes.
It always goes that way. There's always somebody in the church that you're just like,
because they're trying to convert you. They're trying to get you to see it the way they see it. It's like they're forcing their thoughts and their feelings upon you so that you can do the same. That's never comfortable.
Seems like they're testing their own ideas, you know, just they unconsciously, maybe they want other people to believe it so they can validate their own beliefs, kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to know anything new. They just want to validate their own opinions. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot in churches.
Oh, yeah.
And in churchy communities. And there's, you know, there's a certain group of people that are attracted to churches that are really needy, and they kind of suck the life out of anybody that's trying to help them, because they really don't want to change, because if they changed, then they wouldn't be needy anymore. They wouldn't get all the stuff that they get from being needy. So it really is like a continually perpetuating not good situation.
Yeah. But so you were going to these churches and you were encountering these things. Keep going if you want.
Okay. So I would go to Sunday school every once in a while, and I would go to the Catholic catechisms. In fact, one time when I was in high school, the principal of the high school was the grandfather of my friend who was my neighbor in Japan. This is in Camarillo, California. And so I'd skipped like the last half of the day in school, and I wrote him a note from my mom and said I was sick or something. And I got called into the office, and I said, well, I had to go early because I was teaching catechism. It's like, he was a Catholic. He's like, oh, well, I guess that's a good excuse.
That's funny.
Nothing bad ever happened with that.
That's funny.
So, yeah. And then I got married to a subsailor. And I always believed that you could make any relationship work. And I was very naive.
I did too.
Had two great kids. And my ex-husband's a really nice guy. I mean, he's cleaned up his act, and I interact with him to this day. You know, when we go to San Diego and we all get together, it's really fun. But at that time, we ended up divorced. And then I met my current husband, who was a Christian, sort of, but he was different than any other Christians I'd ever met, in that he really didn't buy into all of the stuff. He just believed that in God and Jesus, and his best friend was a pastor in a church in Colorado. So we moved to Colorado, and I went to church like Wednesdays and Sundays, because, you know, that's what I did. Yes, he was a truck driver, so he's never home. He didn't go to church. And I, of course, got crosswise with him. And we moved. And then I was kind of on my own for a while. And then I live in a really small community in Idaho, where there's really only one evangelical church here. And so I started going to that church and got crosswise with them too. They kicked me out. Please don't come back. You're asking too many questions. It's kind of reminiscent of the other thing.
Pattern beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, well, maybe I'm just not supposed to go, and that's fine. And it just wandered me along the path to where I am now, and I'm really happy. And I look at life like life is good and the world is changing. The bad things are going away. They're ending. And it's just opening the doors for so much opportunity for everybody. It's like everybody's getting lifted up now, instead of just like the one or two people at the top who are still trying to hang on to control, but they're losing it because people have become aware of, you know, the shenanigans that have happened over the last couple of years. Brendan and I were talking about how the last couple of years have really helped the world in that way, and that it's opened people's eyes to what's really going on and made them question, you know, what they're being told and who's telling them that. And, absolutely. You know,
yeah, totally. I feel like the consciousness of everybody overall is going up. And of course, you're still going to get some people that don't get it. But like you were saying earlier, how we're all connected, I guess, to the collective, we're all connected to this, you know, the world or whatever, everybody around us, even though we don't want to act like we are, as, you know, sometimes people who are quote unquote truthers or whatever, they try to point at the other people and demonize them. And I think really what's going on is, like what you said, it's just like the collective consciousness is raising. You can even see it in movies and television and stuff. And also, I always point this out to people when they say the world's horrible and it's getting so bad. I'm like, well, when's the last time we had a giant world war? You know, we used to have these world wars where people just go into these meat grinders and hundreds of thousands of people would die and it would be like a reset or whatever. But now they have us, so you just have to like cover your face and take an experimental medical serum if you choose to do it, but you could just choose to not do it. And you don't even have to like be a draft dodger and go to Canada. You know, you could just stay right at home.
Well, some places in the world you did. I had friends in Australia that were sending their young children who didn't have to be in, have that surgical procedure done, and into the grocery store for them because they weren't allowed in the grocery store. This went on for like several months for them. But as far as not being able to get into stores, now it's kind of getting back to normal. But it was pretty rough for a little while there.
Yeah, Australia was really crazy. I did I have a friend, Kaylee, who lives in Australia, and I've done some shows with her before. And we did a show about how crazy it was getting. She was able to find different stores and stuff to go into. But she was actually at a store, but in the background, or like in a back room, they were having an anti-mask meeting or something like that, you know, a meeting, and the police came in and busted it. And she was able to get away because she was just pretending to buy bananas or whatever. And she just stuck to her story. So they let her go. She's a Brit too. So she's not a native Australian, but she's lived there for a few years. But yeah, it got really crazy. It really did. In those places, especially.
The control that was tried to be exerted against the whole world population is pretty staggering. And they knew, Fauci knew about the dangers of it. He knew about the pneumonia that most people during the Spanish flu died of pneumonia from wearing those stupid masks.
Yeah, it's kind of like they were testing people and either tests, and it was like a a test to see if you were actually still a living person who wanted to be free, or you just wanted to follow the rules. And like we were saying before we started this, it really did wake a lot of people up. It shook a lot of people out of their complacency, got a lot of people to start to look at what they were doing every day, their everyday life. And a lot of people cleaned up their act or started working on themselves and stuff. So yeah, it's amazing. And the thing that I always wonder, though, is if that was something that was going to happen regardless, and the people who were in control or whatever just had this scheme so they can kind of try to get out ahead of it to hold on to their power still. But, you know, they went for this crazy power grab, and it seems that a lot of it's receded now. So maybe they still did raise the bar a little bit, but by going up so much, then they just backed down a little bit. So now people don't realize how their lives are affected every day. I mean, some people do, like us, but
I think it was a money grab by the pharmaceutical companies, because they made trillions. Those vaccines were mostly sold to the government, who wanted people to take them because, you know, they paid for them. And Fauci was knee deep in the AIDS epidemic. Another questionable pandemic, mm-hmm. epidemic. And Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, had interesting things to say about Fauci early on. And he died in,
right before, he died at like in end of summer of 2019.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Of pneumonia. And there were three components to that virus that came out right in the beginning. There were SARS, AIDS, and Marburg. And we heard a little bit, it'll come back. You'll see people like starting to have AIDS symptoms and stuff like that, because it's all part of this protein that they're injecting into people.
Yeah.
And back in 2016, well, there was the bird flu in the early 2000s.
Yeah, there was like a thing of like, they tried here, they tried there, they tried, you know, like it was just like a
Ebola. They tried to get Ebola going in the United States by bringing all those people over. And that was like 10 years ago. It was just like,
yeah.
This has been going on for a minute. It didn't just suddenly happen.
Yeah, yeah. They were kind of getting there to the point where they were like, okay, now let's do, we've done these things. We've scared them many times. Now let's like really try to scare them. And yeah. Well, it, whatever it was, was enough to wake a massive amount of people up. And I don't know if it woke me up per se, but I was already in the process of coming to like awakening experiences, because ever since like, I think it started for me in like 2017 with like starting to go to a new church, and then going through that kind of experience was already waking me up to like religions and all these like sects of different kinds of Christianity, and how they're all, for me, like I came to the conclusion that they were all the same. They were just all doing the same thing. So by the time the end of 2019, early 2020 comes around, not only is this starting up, right, with the event 201, or what some people say is 21, actually, with just a globe in the middle. Mm-hmm. That I was already seeing that, but it prompted me to just like completely cut myself off from the church I was going to before and begin to open my mind to other possibilities of finally just like looking into the scripture and whatever it was for myself, so that I could come to an understanding of things by my study and not necessarily by what other people were telling me to believe. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of already on that, but yeah, it probably accelerated the process, you know? And because I was not only questioning these things, but also these other things, you know, it just, because when it came to like medicine and like health, I had started on the path of like believing that everything we need to heal our bodies is already with us, like whether it's in an herb or whether, you know, because I just, when in 2011 or 2012, when I changed my lifestyle and I started like monitoring what I was eating, what I was putting on my skin, like just those kinds of things, I was already aware of those things. So I just always thought to myself, well, there's a power to heal in whatever, like if you grew up in a Zulu and, you know, town in Africa, like they would have some sort of remedy for you for that. Right. So like, I just thought God provides the remedy wherever you are. Like you don't need to, like there's no lack, you know, I was already realizing like this whole, like abundance thing, like it's there. You can heal if you really want to, like there will be a solution provided.
Wayne Dyer, he totally healed himself. They told him he'd never walk again. And not only is he walking, he's like making millions because he's helping other people through meditation. Amazing. And you can rewire your brain. Your body is self-regulating, self-healing.
Absolutely. And then that's when that kind of came around, right? This doing all this research up until that point. And then after that, hearing doctors that were open-minded talk about, well, why can't your body just heal itself? All of that was like, to me, it was like, oh, duh. Yeah. Like, why wouldn't our bodies? But I was already coming to that because even in like, when I was dating that guy that I dated for like 8 years, when I was dating him, he and I would look into like health topics and stuff like that. We'd share all that stuff with each other. And there was this guy that we were watching for a while named Dr. Jason Fung. And he was talking about how, I think he would talk about fasting and things like that. Yeah. Right. And one of the quotes I always remember him saying was like, your body isn't stupid. Like, don't treat your body like it's stupid. It knows what it's doing. So that kind of got my mind going like, yeah, no shit. The body isn't retarded. Like if it's giving you a signal, if there's a reason for it, if you're vomiting or whatever, like there's a reason. Something happened and you're being told, okay, watch it. What did you do? What triggered that? You know, it's for you to heal yourself.
I'm sorry. I was talking with a gal named Nikki Bennett. She's a nutritionist and she was talking about food as a language. I thought this was brilliant. What? Your body gets food and it speaks a language to your cells. And if it's real food, nutritional food, it your helps your body.
Understands it.
It understands what it's supposed to do with the food. But when you eat stuff that's crap and just not really food, it's edible poison, usually, your body doesn't know what to do with it because it can't read the chemical. It can't read the language. So it just stores it in your fat cells, destroys your liver.
Oh, wow.
Gives you cancer. Your body just doesn't know what to do with this stuff that you're putting in there. Because it doesn't understand the language.
Oh my God. That's a really good metaphor. And that makes a lot of sense. I like that.
So brilliant.
Who said that?
Nikki Bennett. I'll get you the link to her radio show. She does. It's I can't remember the name.
That's okay.
That's
okay. I just wondered. I sometimes like to know the source of a some content.
Yeah, she's been in the nutrition field for many years, and that was just one of those quotes. It's like, yeah, that just makes it all make so much sense.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
Just asking yourself, can my body read this? Is it going to understand what I'm trying to tell it to do with this food?
I love that. And the other thing too is, and Brendan and I probably have talked about this in a previous show, but also like where you're at spiritually too, you know, because if there's still things that you're, that you need to learn spiritually, your body's just going to have to use itself to warn you, to remind you, to like tell you, wake you up for something. So, you know, there are people who could probably eat, you know, something that would harm someone else, but it wouldn't harm them. Like, it's kind of like reminds me of that Bible scripture where you shall take up snakes and they won't hurt you, or you'll like eat poison and it won't hurt you. It's like that, because if you're at a place spiritually, the like elevated that spiritually, it's not going to affect you. But that's not to say that you're better than someone else. It's just that that's where you are spiritually.
Have you heard of Breatharians?
Oh, Breatharians. Yeah. we talked about that a lot on the show before. Yeah. It's, you know, it's possible, right? You know, I'm not going to say that you can do that forever for the rest of your life unless you're like some like yogi or like some kind of like master at something, you know what I mean? And that's like you dedicate your life to that or whatever. But I think it is possible to do, you know? I mean, what is fasting? It's like you can fast. Jesus did it 40 days, you know, literal fast. It's not impossible. But also you have to be spiritually capable of those things too. You shouldn't just go into it willy-nilly and just like, oh, I'm going to fast, because that's not what your body may be asking for, you know?
Yeah, and that's a really good point. People need to be able to be more in tune with their body and listen to what their intuition is telling them. Religion tries to train us to listen to what somebody else tells us, and that somebody else is going to be responsible for whatever things happen, you know, just confess your sins and move on. Well, no, figure out why that happened and don't do that shit again. Don't feel guilty about it, because guilt's just going to make you sick, honestly. Just, you know, if it's not serving your higher good, don't do it. And if it's not serving the higher good of the people in your community, probably shouldn't do that either. But it's just listening to your body and staying in tune with it. You know, my daughter taught me something, my youngest daughter, that, and she is the most in tune with her body person I've ever met. She just like, she listens to her body. She listens to her intuition. She's very centered and she's very young. It's just like amazing human being. So glad she's part of my life. But she works with her cycle. This is going to get a little graphic for you, Brendan. Sorry. But women have been trained that, you know, we have to go to work. We have to do these jobs. The job is everything. And our cycles don't work like that. There are some days when you just need to stay home and chillax, because that's where you are in your cycle. And she respects that for herself, which I really,
that's amazing.
Really impressive. But I think if more people did that, and you can really only do that if you're working for yourself. If you're like in a factory or in a job where, you know, they expect you to show up and be there for your 8 or 12 hours a day, you can't do that.
But I mean, you could. You could just call in sick.
Yeah, well, that's not going to last very long. You're going to get fired.
Really? Once a month? You can't call in sick once a month? I don't know. Wow.
You'll get points and you'll get fired.
That sounds ridiculous to me.
But Sharon, I'm going to come work for you.
Yeah,
I can't come in today. I'm sick. I see what you're saying. I definitely think it's more advantageous, and you could live more according to your intuition if you find a way to sustain yourself where you're in control.
It's just being present with your body and your body's needs allows you to be more productive when you are productive. than just trying to like power through everything, which just like it
neglects your what your body is telling you. Hello.
And then what, things just keep getting worse.
Yeah. So that's interesting because you mentioning that makes me think back on when I was, you know, doing that 9-to-5 thing or whatever, 8-to-5, 9-to-6, whatever. And I, before I changed my lifestyle and started like paying attention to what I fed myself and things like that, and what I, how I cared for my body, I was experiencing some painful cycles. So like, and just other things too. Like I was experiencing like bone pain and pain in my aches and pains in my body that I didn't really understand. And sometimes I would, I was very, very blessed to be working where I worked because they respected that I could, I mean, I could just say like, I don't feel good. I got to go home. I didn't like to do that. So I didn't do it often, but I could do that. And it was okay because it was kind of like a desk job. So it's not like I had to be, it wasn't like a factory or something where I had to be there physically doing like a physically demanding job. I just had to be at my desk, but still like, I didn't like to do it, but like some days I would just be like, like my back would be killing me. Like my whole body would just be like in pain and I didn't know what was going on. And I just have to go to my boss and be like, I gotta go. I can't, I'm just not feeling good. So that was happening, but it was happening before I started paying attention to my body and caring for it. And as soon as I changed my lifestyle, a lot of those things that used to happen like went away. Like the pain in my lower back and like really, really painful periods that I used to have and things like that were like almost pretty much gone. Like I would get maybe some light discomfort, but it wasn't like it used to be before. So definitely like focusing on caring for your body and giving it the attention it needs, you know, and
the
especially
nutrition it needs.
The nutrition. And especially like, I think me going to my boss and not just like powering through the day, but just even the fact that I said, look, I can't do this. I got to go home. That's caring for myself, you know, and I could do that. And that was okay.
That's really great. And I hope for most women that they can have that kind of a situation, because it's really important that you're able to listen to your body and respond to what your body wants and not just ignore the signals that it sends you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing.
Kind of a weird segue off of.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's okay. These topics come up. I love it. It's funny because earlier you were talking about confessing sins. Okay. And it's kind of a sink that you mentioned that, but sinks happen all the time. So I'm not even surprised anymore. So today after I got out of the shower and I'm like doing my hair and stuff, I was thinking about that concept because for some reason I remembered, I was thinking about like gossiping and how people are like, don't gossip. And I was just like, well, what is gossip? Like, what if you really have to talk to somebody about something? Is it like, what constitute gossip? Is it only it's when it's a lie, right? And you're slandering someone else maybe, and it's not true. Cause like, if you're going through something that just happened, that's tragic, that's like, just painful for you or difficult, traumatic, sometimes you have to vent, you have to let it out. You have to talk to somebody who understands. And maybe that person also went through the same thing that you did. So like talking about, and even if you're bashing someone else amongst you, two or three or whoever has gone through that thing with you, is that gossip? I mean, you know what I mean? So I was trying to think of that. And then I was thinking about how, you know, it's kind of like a churchy thing maybe to say, don't gossip. And I was like, well, why would the church tell you not to gossip? Like, And then I was like, wait, they tell you to confess your sins. And it's like, oh no, don't gossip. Come tell me. I'm the priest. And I'm like, could it be that that's why they were saying, don't gossip, don't air out your feelings and all the tragic things that you're going through to other people who can actually be a healing source to you. No, come tell me. And it's like, how was that helpful? You know what I mean? So anyway, that was a total sink that you brought that up because it made me think of that. And I just had those little brief thoughts while I was getting dressed.
Yeah. Yeah. Priest and confession.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that because it's, well, not that I like the confession thing, but looking at it in that way, it's just another way to kind of see how there's not one belief or belief system or one thing that will work for everybody. It's just kind of something that, you know, you got to figure it out on your own. Well, that's what we figured out here on the Oversharing Show anyway. And you could obviously see how that whole, you know, confessing sins, just the other side of it, which is kind of like, not only like you guys are saying, you just got to tell this one person and it's fine, but also the fact that somebody believes that they're fine as long as they confess their sins, they could just go keep sinning and then they confess it and then they could just keep doing it again. It's kind of like there's a safety in the background. If you mess up, you know, I have like a
lack of responsibility.
Net. Yeah. Yeah. It really is. You have this little safety net. So if you screw up, you're like, I could just confess and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then really, what is sin anyway? It's just, you know, some people have come to the realization that sin is pretty much lack of belief, like lack of faith. Like that is the sin. It's just not having faith to trust in God that everything's going to be okay. I don't know. I haven't really fleshed out my thoughts on what sin is, but I've heard people say that.
I used to ask pastors back in the days when I thought they might actually know something. So naive. What is sin? Mm-hmm. And I would usually get the whole missing the mark thing.
Yeah.
And if the mark, if you ask, you know, what is the mark?
What is the mark? Is it Jesus?
It's the book of Mark.
Yeah, it's the book of Mark. No, I don't know. That's kind of how I ended up on the Torah path, was because I thought, well, there must be a list of rules. And if I just do those rules, I'll be okay. Right. I won't be sinning. Right. So, you know, there's the 613 and there's the big 10. And one of them, apparently you can't know when the Sabbath is because, you know, it's either
because
Saturday,
everybody's fighting about calendars, Jesus
or Sunday,
Christ.
Or
dare I say,
we don't know what day it is or when it is, or
and should you start observing on the Friday night before because XYZ, or you know, like
or
when does
Wednesday.
It start and when does it end? Yeah,
are there really 7 days?
Is it on the full moon or on the new moon? You know, is it on the full moon or is it on the new moon?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like all these things. It's just ridiculous.
It's like you'll never. Things. And yeah. You can't, you cannot do the 613. So there's no way not to sin. So why is.
If that's what sin is, point? If that's what sin is.
You know, I'm the kind of person where I want to know what the rules are. And I'll decide if I'm going to keep them or not. It depends on the consequences. Yeah. And so long as I was believing in hell, which is another horrific thing that we tell children, it's like, why?
Yeah, exactly. Which I think that book that I mentioned earlier got me to think about how to think about those things. Like I think in the book he mentions how, and I could be wrong, but I think he was talking about the new heavens and the new earth and how like when you are truly doing the two commandments that Jesus said, which are loving God and loving people, you'll end up on a spectrum because there's going to be a new Jerusalem, right? A city, right? And then like the people who do love God, love people are within the city walls. And to the proximity that you love people, Like if you loved people less than the amazing love that people have in the city for people, I know it's getting confusing, but like
so you live on the outside,
you live on the exterior, like because you're living further away from that love of God, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, I started thinking about things in a like more spiritual way, like that made a lot more sense to me that you're just living further away from love when you're that when you're
an abundance,
right?
Because abundance is at the center.
Yeah.
And the further you get out of love towards fear and all the things that happen out on the fringe, the less abundance you have in your life. Love is where abundance happens.
Yeah.
You serve people in love. Mm-hmm. And then abundance happens back to you because you get what you give. Mm-hmm. That's just a law of life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Love, yeah. And we've had, we've seen to break down sin in a way where we don't really think that anything you could do in this realm on the spiritual level, anyway, we've always made this distinction, is really wrong. Like that's what you're here for. If you're going to be a serial killer, you're here to, for some reason, have all those experiences. And those experiences are going to, you know, spread out to other people who are going to need to feel that. And then you're going to need to go through that. So maybe you can have a come to Jesus moment where you realize, wait, this isn't really what I want to do. So Sharon and I always say, do it till you're done. But if you have a strict set of rules, it's just a lot. It's an easier way to control people. We always break these things down to control. Mm-hmm. And really, at the end of the day, it's kind of like a slave versus a master mentality, really just over your brain. You know, are you a slave of your own mind or are you a master of your own mind? And depending on which category you fall into, you're going to it's going to be reflected by your cosmology. You know, if you are a slave to your own mind, then you're going to find a place where you can be a slave to other people and follow their rules. And if you don't, you're going to get the punishments or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I think there's some, on some level, we perhaps make contracts before we come back into this plane. Mm-hmm. And I do believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
I think people cycle through mm-hmm. repeatedly, but I think you also have contracts with people that you will run into in this lifetime. And yeah, you'll meet other people, but we primarily run into the people that we're supposed to run into.
Absolutely.
And they may be for a minute, they may be for a season, they may be for your entire life, yeah. And they may weave in and out of your life. Mm-hmm. Like I know I've known people for, and keep in mind, I lived all over, I moved a lot, but I still have friends from when I was a teenager and when I was in elementary school. But my wow. oldest friend that's not related to me is somebody that I knew when I was in sixth grade.
Wow. That's
when I still communicate with her. We wish each other happy birthdays. We've watched each other's lives.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing how that happens. I really, like we were saying earlier, you feel like we're all just energy. And if we talk about this a lot on the show, if we are all just energy, then who knows? Of course, we're probably going to come back, you know, and maybe it's not exactly us in this body. Well, obviously, it's not going to be, but it is for our energy. You know, maybe there's something that has to go along the path for it to come back to synchronicity or whatever. You know, it's really hard to explain it, but it fits a lot of different belief systems if you just look at it allegorically. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why I try not to shit on anybody's belief system. I kind of just listen and see what I could glean from it, because everybody kind of has their own truth. It's just that we've kind of tore apart these organized religions so much that we could see it. And again, we're not making judgments, because Sharon and I always say, listen, if somebody is going to church but they live in accordance with the golden rule or natural law or however you want to say it, and they're having a great life and it's, you know, they're positively affecting people around them and stuff, then great. Keep that going for you. Mm-hmm. But some of us, for whatever reason, we just have these lingering questions and we can't get answers to them. We keep getting kicked out of places and ostracized for just asking simple questions.
Yeah, everybody's entitled to want what they want and to be on their own path, and everybody's in a different place in their journey. And, you know, I totally respect that. And, yeah, you know, had I not been kicked out of the churches that I was kicked out of, then I might not be where I am today. Do you ever do any past life regression? Do you know what your past lives were?
I didn't do a past life regression, but I did like a small, like, shamanic journey. And so I heard about a couple of parts of like a past life. But not like just one of them was like, it was an early past life about how I was abandoned. And so maybe that's where I might've had some abandonment issues like now because of a past life that I was holding on to potentially. So, but I haven't really done like a true past life regression. Our friend Adam did though. And I think we had him talk about it on, we might've had him talk about it on the show.
Yeah, I think so. Correctly. We have to have him back on one of these days. Adam, if you're listening, come on, man.
Yeah, I know. He knows, but he's busy. He's got a baby on the way. So.
Yeah, and he has a whole farmstead. So goats and chickens and
Yeah, goats and all kinds.
I haven't had any past life regressions or anything, but I'm sure if I did, it'd be like, you know, Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan.
I had two.
Okay. You had them done before?
Okay. I know of two past lives that I've lived.
Okay.
One, they're just like snapshots.
Okay.
Actually, there's three snapshots, but one, the first one that I ever really experienced was going over a cliff on a horse. It was in England, probably in the 1600s, maybe 1700s. And for some reason, I was on a horse and I went off a cliff. And I'm afraid of heights. I have always, my whole life, I've been horrified. I get nauseous. Like, even if I'm watching a movie, like some of those, I can't remember his name, but he does those.
The 007 guy or whatever.
Yeah. Where they're like up on the top of those really high buildings in Dubai. It makes me physically ill to be
watching
to see that kind of stuff. But I think it goes back to that. Mm. And I was a woman in that life. Mm-hmm. Another life, I was a man and I got shot three times in the West, the Wild West, over a woman. Oh, and another one, I'm sitting at a vanity. It's probably in the 30s or 40s, putting on red lipstick. Those are the three memories I have of past lives.
That is amazing. And those are your own memories of a past life. That's amazing. Yeah, I don't have any memories. And the only time I heard about this was through that, like I said, that shamanic journey that I did with Ashati Healer Bear. But those are very, very interesting. And it's funny, the whole like concept of reincarnation and stuff like that. I was recently listening to a Bill Donahue. I hadn't heard his stuff in a while, but I, for whatever reason, I was going through some playlists and I saw that one. I thought, oh, I haven't seen him in a long time. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to click on it. I mean, and then I saw the title and I was like, oh, that's pretty relevant. That's something that we were just talking about on the show. So I played it, and then I played another one later on, totally different from a different playlist, and I was like, just clicked on the next one that was available, and I was like, and that one talked about the same exact thing. It was funny. But anyway, and at one of them, I think he was talking about how John was a reincarnation of Elijah. And I don't know if you remember studying about in the Bible, and how it's like called the spirit of Elijah was in him, right? And you know, I remember even more because I grew up in a church where they talked about that a lot, where like the spirit of Elijah was with so and so and so and so, and like, so like it's like, well, if you don't believe in reincarnation or you don't think reincarnation's in the Bible, well, kind of is right there. It's like kind of telling you the spirit of like, why would that guy come back again? Like that, and different names, right? But it was always called the spirit of Elijah, right? Is this the same guy, maybe? Could it be?
The Jews actually do believe in reincarnation.
Oh,
most people don't understand Judaism like at all.
Wow.
And they have different sects, just like Christianity.
Oh, wow.
That believe different things. They like to pass themselves off as, oh, we're just Jews, but no, you're not.
They see a lot of things.
You all believe different things.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, I have a question for you about, because I know that this was, it's a, you know, probably a good thing to talk about because, and we may talk about this in a future episode, Brandon and I, but like relationships and how, being in what could be considered a cult or like having this cult mentality of like, I'm right. My religion is perfect. It's the best. You're wrong. And you need to come to my thing. Like you need to believe what I believe and how that and how you treat other people when you're in that mode and how that affects relationships and how when you're free from that and you just let people just be and you let yourself be and how that can be so freeing and like healing to relationships. Like, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. And I have an example of how it can kind of backfire on you, but it's helped me be able to have relationships with a lot of other people in a way that I don't have to expect anything from them. And I'm not responsible for them. A lot of Christians run around thinking they're responsible for saving everybody that they run across. And it makes it awkward and it uncomfortable because they can't just enjoy you for who you are. And you can't enjoy them for who they are because you're always like on edge about, you know, what am I going to say? Am I going to say something that's going to upset them or not? And my oldest daughter is a pastor and she went into the ministry. She's children's ministry, but her degree is in ministry. And it's kind of cool because she married my son when he got married in last July. All my kids, I have five kids and all the kids were in the wedding and the grandkids were in the wedding. It was so fun that she's not talking to me. She hasn't really, I've seen her a couple of times and we went out to try to like spend some time with them. And I love her kids. Her kids are amazing. She's an amazing human being, honestly, but she's just so caught up in religion. Being unable to just appreciate the moment, which I think a lot of people trapped in religion are just unable to just be happy for the sake of being happy. Just be grateful for what is right now. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about tomorrow. You know, the Bible even says, don't worry about tomorrow. Mm. Today's got trouble enough of its own.
Mm-hmm. And the birds, like even Jesus talks about, like the birds don't worry. They don't spin and they don't try to make wool and clothing for themselves. And the flowers are beautiful and I clothe them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it only makes sense, you know, it gets people stuck in either worrying about the future or worrying about the past because they're afraid that they're going to go to hell, like you were saying, or they're afraid that their loved ones are going to go to hell and they're going to be separated from them. Yeah. It just takes you out of the present moment.
And you know, what kind of loving God would send your friends and family to hell?
That's what that book also like taught me to like open my mind about is like that whole concept. Like would a loving God do something differently than you would? Like if you would send all your family to heaven because you love them so much, why would God do something opposite of what you're going to do? Like,
why would he set it up so that you didn't have any choice about being born the way you were born, because we're all theoretically born into sin? Why would he make the penalty for that to burn forever? And
or not, because it depends on what church you go to.
Or not, but you know, the
to be exterminated completely. Obliterated.
Yeah,
forever.
You would hope that that would happen. I mean, how horrible would it be? I mean, there's a verse in the Bible that talks about, you know, looking down and watching them burn. This is like, I don't choose that God. That's not my God. My God is a loving God who is in all of us. When I was a teenager, I used to believe in the crystal goblet theory. This was before I had enough knowledge about, you know, other stuff that my, and I'm not so sure I don't still believe this or believe it again, but the crystal goblet theory is that God is the crystal goblet, and he dropped because he needed to experience
into a surprise, million shards,
into a million shards. And everything that has energy is a piece of God. And the whole exercise of creation is for God to come back together.
Or for God to experience itself and know itself. Could it be? Yeah.
Cliff High talks about God because he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, that he can't experience surprise.
That was in that book I keep talking about. That made me also go, oh, that, like, I get it now. It makes more sense. I'm sorry. Go on.
So we all exist as pieces of him so that he can experience
surprise,
chance, randomness, surprise, things that as
separateness, a little bit distinctiveness. Absolutely.
I like to envision him when he comes back together as, you know, the Japanese pottery that breaks, that they lace with gold in the cracks.
Beautiful. Like, beautiful.
So the broken thing is even more beautiful than the original creation.
Mm-hmm. That is beautiful.
So I wonder if he's not going for that.
Could it be, you know, right?
Who knows?
Yeah, it makes total sense, especially what we were saying before about energy, because it, if you're thinking of a crystal goblet breaking into a million shards, it's the same thing as energy just splitting up into different pieces of smaller energy, you know, and then coming back together. And I feel like that's what this physical experience is.
Like,
we're in that moment
energy
right now. What's that?
Like a holographic energy.
Yeah, exactly. Holographic energy. And we're, right? We are experiencing that right now. So I could be Brandon and Sharon could be Sharon, you know, like, yeah, that's, it's kind of what. Yeah, exactly.
And next lifetime, I might be, you know, Jonas or something, you know, I don't know. Or not. I might not come back, y'all. Just letting you know. I might choose to stay where I'm at.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and I sometimes wonder if there aren't other dimensions that we could choose from. And I think I do believe in aliens. I actually do still believe the flat earth concept. I don't hold on to it really tightly, but I think that
we don't hold on to anything too tightly around here, just so you know.
Okay, good. I think that we are on a flat plane, that the continents are on a flat plane, and it's surrounded by the South Pole, but it's actually a circle, and it's got the ice shelf and stuff, and that there's a dome over it. And I think there's stuff underneath us as well.
Could be.
And I'm not so sure that beings don't exist below us.
Right, right. We don't
but
know.
But I also think that there's portals where other beings come in.
Dimensions, absolutely.
Like, this dimension, and we could...
Light beings can travel from point A to point B in, like, milliseconds, microseconds, you know?
You know, stores like the star portal thing. What am I trying
Stargate?
To think of? Stargates. I think Stargates actually exist.
They could.
In fact, there was an episode on the Stargate TV show where they were making fun of, there was a movie being made about the Stargate thing that was being, in the show there was a movie being made, and they came and were helping on the show, advisors. And they were kind of like, nah, it doesn't really exist. But in the show, it did really exist. And I wonder if it doesn't really exist in reality.
Reality.
The reality is we're experiencing it. And they're just making the TV show about it.
Could it be? Yeah. If you are ever interested, Brandon and I have talked about this before, but we looked into this law of one. And it kind of gives kind of a compelling explanation for what we could be living, what we could be experiencing right now in this, what they call the third density. And and there's multiple densities. And as you grow in density, you become more of a light being. Until you're in like the sixth density and you're like a fully light, you're like fully light being. And you're obviously you're not experiencing this 3D, but you could come to talk through people, maybe like through channeling or something, that you could come speak to the people of this 3D experience. Or who knows, maybe other ways of interaction. But yeah, that the law of one, I can share a link with you. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I'd really like to investigate that a little more. There's just like so many things that could be, and maybe they are.
Yeah.
If we could imagine them, why couldn't they
Imagination
exist?
Is like, we create our reality with our thoughts, basically. We manifest what we, our thoughts become our words become our actions, which become, you know,
back matter. To Brandon's, back to Brandon's quote that he opened the show with.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Full circle.
Spoke exactly to that.
Yeah. So we're getting to about an hour and a half. I don't know if there's anything else that you wanted to share. Brandon, if you have any other questions.
Overshare. Well, I would say that I like that whole the crystal goblet theory and the whole thing about witchcraft. So is there anything you wanted to talk about with that when you were getting into that when you were younger? Or
I didn't really get into witchcraft per se, but it was just, you know, studying about what people and witches, like witches are just people that are in tune with nature.
Yeah.
The people that were the herbologists in the old days that knew which herbs would heal you, they were alchemists. Called witches, alchemists, you know, all of those people. And it's more a matter of being in tune with the vibrations that are going on versus, you know, the black pointy hats and the black cat. Though I do have a black cat now. We just inherited
it. Right in us too.
Yeah, I have two black cats. So. Yeah, I think people that when they don't understand something, they just will demonize it. And especially if it's going in, you know, it's going against the current dogma of the day. I think really that's what happens, you know, and when it's a bunch of women, they just call them all witches. It's crazy witches.
Yeah, because it's easy to just, you know,
point the finger,
corral them up and burn them to listen to what wisdom they might have to share.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure if I do a past life regression, I'll probably find out that I was burned at the stake a few times, probably.
That was in my past life. That first one that I told you, that was one of my past life regressions. Yeah. I was a young boy. I was left in, I was left by my tribe in the jungle, and I was afraid for my life. And this other people found me and burned me. Yeah.
Was it Axl Rose? Was he all like, welcome to the jungle?
Sorry. You're gonna die.
That's the comedy of the show, everybody.
I don't know that song, but the only reason I know the lyrics is because of my sister.
You're gonna die, baby.
She used to sing those lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe there was a reason for that.
Yeah.
To remind you to like jog your past life memory.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, something happened when I was about, when I was a teenager in this lifetime, that was reminiscent of kind of like that, where I was being, where I was forgotten and I was left. And it was at a rest stop and we were on our way back. It was my mom, my sister, and my cousin. And there was a small prelude. And, you know, there's three people in the car. So the one in the back seat couldn't have possibly said anything to the people in the front to like wait for someone, because they were clearly sitting next to them when they arrived. But leaving the rest area, they didn't say anything. And when I say they, I mean her, my cousin. She was whack on crack. Not really, but probably on something. Yeah. Or she hated me or something, because she did not tell them that I was not in the back seat. And they didn't even turn around to look to see if I was. They just left.
Maybe she was testing them. She was like,
and
I
had
long.
A premonition too. Like when I walked in, it's funny because I never realized that until I went after that past life regression that I had, that triggered my memory to that happening, of being abandoned. And then I remembered the story, because it was very, it felt like, whoa, like they left me, like they didn't even think about me. They didn't even, like, who does that? You know what I mean? Like, and I remembered that as I was walking into the bathroom, my mom was walking in there too. And I thought to myself, they're going to leave me. And then I was like, they're not going to leave me. They're not going to leave me. Like, my mom's in the bathroom too. Like they'll remember. And then like in the bathroom, in the stall, I remember thinking, yell out to mom so she doesn't forget you. But then I was like, there's other people in the stall. I'm not going to do that. That's weird.
Listening to your intuition. Had you listened to your intuition, and you might not have been left.
And I didn't do it. And I walked out of the bathroom and the car was gone. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me?
I guess I live here now.
And I
before cell phones, right?
Before cell phones. I didn't have a cell phone.
People don't understand the challenges that we had in life before cell phones.
Yeah.
We used to go out and run around.
Yeah.
Like,
and how did
crazy
you find
lunatics
people?
All day like, long.
Yeah. How did you find people? Like, meet me here at this time. And it's like, what if you didn't? What if you lost each other? Like anymore, it's like hard to think how that.
You'd find a payphone and you'd call their house, or the last known place where they were. And you'd be like, have you seen them? Are they coming? Or you'd leave a message.
Yeah. And that's funny, because I thought to myself, I got to find the payphone, or I got to find something, because I need to call the next, because I think it was New Mexico and the border was maybe the next time they were going to get to the border, and then they were going to get into Arizona. And I thought, somebody needs to call them and to tell them and remind them, you know, that someone in the back seat is missing. Four people. There's only three. It's a small prelude. It's a coupe, like two doors. Like I had to get, somebody has to move the seat for me to get in. Yeah. No. Nobody noticed.
How did they come back to get you?
I walked around and looked for the ranger, the park ranger. And then I told him, and he was probably like, seriously, people. And I think I told him if he could contact, I don't remember what happened. I just remember that I was like looking for the park ranger and that I needed to tell him to tell. But at the same time, I was kind of like, they're eventually going to have to figure it out and turn around. But on those roads from New Mexico to Arizona, they're not necessarily like there's miles and miles between exits, and you can't just turn around in the middle. Like there's a big median and it's like a dirt road. It's like, it's not a road. It's just dirt. So you can't like cross. You have to wait till you're at an exit, unless you maybe a cop, if a cop doesn't see you, maybe you can, but like, you have to wait till you're like at an exit, turn around and come back. Well, I was like, by the time they find an exit, you know, I don't know when this is going to happen, but I guess I'm waiting. I don't know how long I waited. Maybe I'm going to say half an hour, an hour. I can't remember. But it wasn't like all day, and it wasn't like, it wasn't.
They probably called the police department. They probably found the car and pulled him over and told him to go back and get you.
Yeah, that would, I just was like, is it going to take that for real? You know, like for real now. But yeah, they came back and I was like, when did, like, I told my sister, like, when did you notice? She's like, she was driving and she's like, well, I asked you a question. I looked in the rearview mirror and you weren't there. And I'm like, wow.
That's crazy.
How old were you?
I was probably like 16, 15. Who knows? I was, you know, a teenager.
Prime time to make you feel real important in your life.
Exactly.
I'm significant. They forgot me.
Mm-hmm. Which was just it was just something that had to remind me probably of a past life where I was abandoned, you know. Mm-hmm. That time I was burnt at the stake.
Fortunately, this time you just were like left to enjoy the sunshine on a
It was probably hot too, you know, because
you got burned in the sun.
That desert heat, you know?
Yeah, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, burned in the sun. That's it, Brendan.
There you go. I never thought of that one.
That's funny.
Oh.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Wrap it up?
Yeah, I think it's a good spot. Mm-hmm. We did some quality oversharing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I'm glad that you brought that story back up about being abandoned. We should look into that again another time, maybe on a show and try to figure out what that's all about. Yeah, I could just see them just very self-absorbed in their own little world, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe your cousin was kind of just like, oh, I like chaos. Let's see how long we could let this go, you know.
Yeah, she probably was that way. She was known to be an odd person. She's passed away some years ago, a couple maybe.
Did you leave her at a rest stop? Sorry.
No.
Well, maybe her whole purpose in life intersecting with you was just for that event.
Could be. Yeah, exactly.
That could be a great topic for our podcast later.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Sharon's cousin. Rest in peace. We appreciate your contribution to the Over Sharon Show.
Yeah. Made for a great story.
Yeah, it really does. Well, thank you, Jill, for coming on. Thank you so much for oversharing your life with us and what you've learned and stuff. You know, we always feel like people on this journey can learn from other people's lives. Not that there's only one way to get everything done. Like we said, it's all an individual thing. But as you could look at other people and see how they negotiated some of the issues and problems they had in their life, then maybe you can figure out a way to navigate your own.
Yeah. And, you have this new podcast, so please tell us where people can find you if they want to watch and if they want to participate, whatever.
I do have a YouTube channel, The U World Ordered, and my podcast, which is available on all the podcast places that you would listen, you can find them at the www.theuworldorder.com, and just all about people being the change they want to see in the world. It's everybody's doing something different and it's really exciting. And I do also offer a coaching program if people are wanting to pursue their passion and figure out where it is that they fit in this new U world economy. You can get in touch with me and I'll sit down and give you some resources and help you get started.
Love it. Perfect.
Awesome.
It's great.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on. It's been really great getting to chat with you. It's been a long time since you and I've gotten to chat, Sharon.
Yeah, it has. It's probably been a good year, huh?
I think so.
Something like that, for sure. Awesome.
Well, I'm glad I was able to participate and be part of this whole discussion.
Yeah, and I've been listening to you, Brandon, when Sharon and I were, your podcast, when you were the Brendan Bonanza or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I still do that show. And if you're watching this, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, tonight I'm recording with Asha so that it'll be live. But by the time this airs, it'll be a couple weeks have gone by. So go check that out on the Brandon Bonanza YouTube channel. And if you'd like to find us, it's at morelawsmoreproblems.com. Click on the Over Sharon tab and you can get everything you need. There's several ways to support us, but we always say the best way to support us is to just show up every Thursday, 8:33 p.m. when we either premiere these or we do a live and hang out in the chat with us. Ask us your questions. We love questions. We're not like the ortho bros or dogmatic people. We actually like the questions and we like to ponder them. So send us your questions. And
I was going to say, when you support us, you support yourself.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's all abundance. It does just give us everything, everybody. You don't need all that stuff. Just send it to us. We'll make better use of it.
Just let it move around.
Yeah. It's just numbers in a bank account, right?
Share out of love and gratitude for what you already have, and more will come. Shaken down, pressed hard, overflowing.
Exactly. Absolutely. 100%. It's a great way to send us out. So what do we say to the good people, Sharon? Oh, what? Go ahead.
I was going to say shout out to our chat.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the chat. How can I forget? Thank you guys so much for hanging out and participating in the chat. We really appreciate it. And make sure you come back, subscribe, hit like, share all the fun stuff. Share and share alike.
And share on.
And share on. And speaking of that, what do we say overshare. To good people, Sharon? Yeah, and definitely overshare.
What do I say to the lovely people?
What do we say to the good people, Sharon?
That once you start over sharing,
then you totally stop being a Karen.
That's right. So that's Sharon. Right.
Sharon, that's going to backfire us because we're going to have a guest named Karen sometime. I could already see that. So we might have
my friend Karen.
Yeah. No offense, any Karens. You know what we're talking about. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Take care. Ciao.